when you hear other people talk about you, it makes you just feel way more, you know, like you, way more smarter than you really are. So good to be at Northwest University. I have to tell you the truth. When I look out over this crowd this morning, I don't see the leaders of tomorrow. I see the leaders of today. Don't ever buy the lie that your destiny and your calling starts somewhere down the road. God wants to meet us here today and now. When I was your age, I helped start and plant my own my first church in Minneapolis with a team, and that church is still going today, over 25 years later. So never underestimate what God wants to do in this season of your life here at NU. On a lighter note, how many have seen the new Spider-Man movie? Any Marvel fans in the house? Hello. Okay, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it by now, it's your fault. Just saying, it's your fault if you haven't seen it by now. You had all Christmas break. All three Spider-Mans get together in this one. It's not a big spoiler. It's not a big spoiler. So if you're a Spider-Man fan, you have your favorites, right? So who's like the Andrew Garfield favorite? And who's like Tobey Maguire? That's your, yeah, the real Tobey Maguire, right? And who's the other guy? Oh, yeah, Tom Holland, right? How many just could care less? You don't really care about this? You need help. You're jaded. I don't know. I love Spider-Man movies because, you know, of all of the superpowers he has, right? He's super strong. He does that cool thing with the webs. But the Spidey sense, right? When he gets that Spidey sense that something's about to happen, every time I see it, I think, like, that's the Holy Spirit. Like that's what the Holy Spirit does. In fact, here's a Spidey sense moment that happened to me. I was church planted. We've church planted across the country, and just crazy things happen, right? Things that you're just not ready for, that you just need the Holy Spirit for. So this lady brings her baby up for prayer. She says, "Pastor Beth, my baby won't eat. The doctors can't figure out what's wrong. She's losing weight. Will you pray?" Of course, as a good pastor, I said, "Yes, I'll pray." And as I'm praying, it happens. The Spidey sense happens. And the Holy Spirit reveals something to me that only the Holy Spirit could do. Out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit says, "There's a coin stuck in the baby's throat." And I'm like, "What? Really? Like, okay, this is kind of weird." So I pray for the lady, and after we're done, I said, "Hey, I know this is going to sound kind of strange, but I think there might be like a coin or something stuck in the baby's throat. You might want to just go to the ER, just ask for an x-ray, just get it checked out." An hour later, she calls me. She says, "Pastor Beth, baby's in surgery. There was a dime in her throat." She said, "Any time it could have turned and she would have suffocated." Like, that is the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? True confession, I don't have x-ray vision. I never would have known that there was earrings in preaching, you know? You can't preach with them. You can't preach without them. Joe's laughing like he knows what I'm talking about. The struggle is real. Just trying to look good. Yeah. He's like, "I got glasses and a mask. I've got my own issues." What are we talking about? Spider-Man and the Holy Spirit. So just a few weeks ago over Christmas break, how many were here and got to see the snow? How much fun was that? And so over Christmas break, we're planting a church called The Table, and I told the kids, "Hey, let's go see a movie, but let's go to the mall, and let's go about an hour early so we can just walk the mall and pray, because we're praying for a space in Federal Way to plant our church." So as we're walking and we're praying, we see these two empty spaces, and we're like, "Oh, wouldn't that be cool? Maybe we could meet, like, right here in the mall." Last night, I get a phone call from the realtor, and she's like, "Hey, we'd love to lease to you." She lowers the price. She offers us 2 months of free rent. Like, who does that, right? But that is the Holy Spirit working when we pray. Today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and depending on what culture or church or denomination or not that you were raised in, all of us have a different perception of the Holy Spirit. So when I say the phrase, I just want you to pause for a moment. When I say the phrase Holy Spirit, I want you to think, what's the first word that comes to your mind? What's the first word or phrase that comes to your mind? That will give you a little taste of your perceptions of the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit a mysterious force? why do we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit can kind of be on Star Wars, you know, when they talk about the Force is with you, but we don't really understand what the Force is. We know it has something to do with midichlorians, but we're not really sure. Kind of some mystery thing. And what does the Holy Spirit want to do? And how does the Holy Spirit want to be active in our lives today? I want to personally thank and acknowledge my mentor and my friend, Dr. Don Dietrich. He has done some great research on the Holy Spirit, some of which I will include in my talk here today, hashtag no plagiarism. I hope you all learn a little lesson from that, because like a few months ago, I heard a guy teach a sermon that was like straight out of Andy Stanley's book, and he like played it off like it was his. Anyway, live right, do what's right. So the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, one of the last words of Jesus. Now, you know when somebody says their very last words in movies when you see people dying? Like, remember when Yoda was dying and his very last words were, there was another Skywalker. Like, it was this big secret that he waited till the last breath to say. So these are Jesus. We pay attention to people's last words, right? Some of the last words of Jesus we find in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we see this pattern unfold in Scripture that we want to talk about. Before we get to the pattern, I want us just to answer a few simple questions about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Is it just some mysterious force? We know that the Holy Spirit is God. It is the third person of the Trinity. And next, we want to talk about, well, where is there evidence of the Trinity? Some will say the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, I drove a Jeep this morning to get here, and the word Jeep isn't in the Bible either. But in the Bible, it talks about when Jesus was being baptized. We remember when John baptizes Jesus, right? That we have Jesus, the Son of God. Then we hear the voice of God, and then it says that the dove descended on him, like the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus. We have all three together, and it's not by accident that all of the Gospels include that story, every single one of them. What are the names of the Holy Spirit? Nicknames are important, right? Margaret Thatcher was called the Iron Lady for her staunch stand against communism. Sugar Ray Leonard got that nickname by his coach in the Olympics, said he was sweet as sugar. So they called him Sugar Ray Leonard. It just kind of stuck. But what are some names of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Comforter, the Spirit of adoption. We can learn a lot by the names of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And they're symbols of the Holy Spirit. They're symbols like fire, wind, water, a seal, oil, dove. Oftentimes when you see people being prayed for, we use oil, we anoint them. There's nothing special or magical about the oil. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit that we're connecting with, saying, hey, we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is here. So what exactly does the Holy Spirit do? We know what Jesus did, right? He was the perfect lamb that took away the sin of the world. And sometimes I feel like we have a very one-dimensional view of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to take a look at this list. It's not even comprehensive. But look at this. The Spirit was involved in creation, brings regeneration. He guides us, tells us of things to come. There's the spidey sense right there, a scriptural evidence for the spidey sense of the Holy Spirit. Tells us of things to come. The Holy Spirit strengthens believers. He prays, teaches us, helps us, eliminates fear. Now, let's just pause there for a second, because I just think right there, I don't know about you, but these days, every day I wake up, I think, is there going to be a tornado, an earthquake, a flood, like tsunami happened this past week? Like, what in the world? There's so much going on, so much uncertainty. What's the next variant going to be, right? So much fear, but the Holy Spirit eliminates fear. Come on, somebody. I need more of that in my life. The Holy Spirit brings unity. We could talk about that for a while, right? Vaxxed, unvaxxed, boosted, unboosted, masked, unmasked. We need unity more than ever in the church today, amen? The Holy Spirit builds us up in prayer, brings growth, is the author of Scripture, brings us love. I think we can all agree we need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? And what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? You know, if you come to my house, really any time of the year, but especially at Christmas, you'll see evidence that we're kind of Seahawks fans. We have a Seahawk Christmas tree. Now, I should have put it up earlier this year because we had a rough season, and maybe I should just put it up like in October next year or something. But what is the fruit? Like when people look at your life, how do they know that you have the Holy Spirit active in your life? Well, Scripture tells us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Is there goodness in our life? Is there gentleness? Do you have self-control? You know, in a lot of Pentecostal circles, the Holy Spirit can be reduced to only speaking in tongues, and that can kind of be a part of it, but there is so much more that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. I want us to look at this pattern. It starts with this, and here are the five in this pattern. Number one, there's an invitation. Jesus said in Acts 1:4, "But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." Jesus said, "Hey, I've got a gift for you. I've got something special. I've got a little surprise." How many know what your love language is? You guys still take those quizzes, right? Mine is gifts. Like, talk is cheap. Like, quality time, okay, yeah, I want to hang out with you. But, like, give me some bling. You know, I just had my 25th anniversary, and my husband got me a little bling, a little opal pearl, opal thing. And he knows my love language, right? So Jesus gives this invitation, says, "Hey, I've got a gift. I got something I want to give to you." Then the second piece of this pattern is there's a response. What do they do after they say there's a gift? It says in Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with their brothers. And this is significant, right? Because it fulfills the prophecy 800 years earlier by Joel. In Joel 2:8, it says, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit." So they waited. They said, "Okay, we want this gift. We're expecting. We're anticipating. We're waiting for it." And then third, what happens? There's a suddenly. Acts 2:2 says, "Suddenly this sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they're sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Now, this was a God moment. This was a party that he had planned. They didn't need to coerce it or manipulate it or force it in any way, because it is God who baptizes and God alone. Now here, this is what's interesting to me, what happens next. Things go from weird to welcome. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, how many have known people that just make the Holy Spirit kind of weird? I mean, come on, let's be real, right? There's just people out there that just make the Holy Spirit weird. They make it weird by either doing two things. They ignore it and pretend like it's not in Scripture, and they say, "Oh, well, that's not for us today. That was just for them back then." Or they make it super weird and like always speak in tongues in front of your friends that you bring at church, and it's just like you would never bring your friends to that church because it's just so weird. And Peter kind of has to stand up and explain what happened, because it was kind of weird. It was kind of different. And he gets up and he says this, "Hey, these people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning," even though you and I know that doesn't stop some people. But no, this is what was spoken by Joel. And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And he's preaching and the power of God falls. Now, here's the thing. Famous author C.S. Lewis said this of Aslan, who symbolizes Jesus. And most of you who love Narnia know this phrase. "He's not a tame lion, but he is good." God is not tame. God is mysterious. We're never going to figure out God. Hopefully we can know more of God and get closer, but God is God, and God can do what he wants. And God decided to show up and give tongues of fire and give them a different prayer language. Hey, if I were God, I don't know if I would have gone that route, but God did that. And all of us today have a choice. We can say, "Hey, that's weird. I'm not quite sure about that." Or we can welcome it and say, hey, God, if that's what you want to do in my life, I want everything you can give me. Give me everything you got. The first time somebody prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I was on the front steps of one of the Capitol buildings in Washington, D.C. We were there for a prayer meeting, and this lady came up and said, you want the Holy Spirit? And I'm like 13 years old. I'm like, yeah, sure. So she starts praying right there, puts her hand on my head. She's like shaking and shouting at me. And after she was done, nothing happened, and I thought, that was weird. It actually just kind of turned me off to the whole thing. It wasn't until much later, till another woman in church was mentoring me, and she said, hey, can I pray with you for the Holy Spirit? She knew I was feeling a call to ministry. She's like, hey, you're going to need more of the Holy Spirit. And we were praying, and God just gave me this little prayer language. It wasn't some big thing. It wasn't this magical moment. But can I tell you, I went from a backward, shy, not confident at all person to the next year planting a Bible study ministry in my public school and then going on to plant churches in some of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Minneapolis and Harlem, New York, and even South Seattle. And you know what? Only the Holy Spirit could have done that for me. Now, I have two kids, and as a parent, I would never send my son out to do a chore and say, hey, son, I want you to go cut the grass, and here's a pair of scissors, right? I would give him, or my daughter, she's cut the grass too, but we kind of like to make him do the hard work. I give the boy a lawnmower. I would give him the power to get the job done. You know that Pew Research says that there are 8 billion people in the world today. About 2.3 are Christians. You can do the math of how many billions are still needing to hear about the hope of Jesus. And we need all the power that we can get. I love what Mark 16:17 says. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. Sometimes I don't know if we always know or believe what is available to us as Christians. In Texas, many years ago, there was a man who was a farmer. He lived in total poverty. He was broke as a joke. He had no money. And yet one day, he decided to drill on his property. Today, that oil well still gives 250,000 gallons a day from that property. Here he was living in total poverty, but he had extreme wealth at his availability. Sometimes as believers, I feel like when we don't tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, we kind of just live at status quo. We try to handle problems on our own. We let anxiety and depression beat us down, and we don't realize we have access to power to defeat all of that. Jesus sent out his disciples with power and authority. And I'm here to tell you today, when you tap into the Holy Spirit, he will give you that power and that authority that you need in your life. So the same pattern unfolds for us today. He's giving us the invitation. He's waiting for us to respond. God is waiting to baptize us and give it to us. And we can welcome it, or we can label it weird. We can set it aside and say, okay, that's kind of kooky, that's kind of weird, or we can welcome it into our lives. And the purpose is to give us power to bring the hope of Jesus to the world. If the keyboardist wants to come this morning, I believe this generation needs the power of God more than ever. We are seeing unprecedented problems. I look back to the problems I faced when I was your age, and I think it was nothing like what you are facing today. And I know that this generation, you guys get knocked on a lot. Can I just tell you something? I got to tell you this. Our team for the table, we have a core team. There's about 12, 15 of us on our core team to plant this church. We're launching in April of this year. If you're bored on Saturday nights of going to see Spider-Man and going to Starbucks, come hang out with us on Saturdays, be a part of what God's doing. But we have all different ethnicities on our team. We've got Black, White, Hispanic, Malaysian, Asian, and we've got all different generations. We've got millennials, and then we've got some 30-somethings with kids. And can I tell you who's showing up? The millennials are showing up. The millennials are showing up, and they're saying, hey, I am here ready to serve. The power of God's ready to move, and I want to be a part of it. So this morning, I just want us to stand to our feet, and we just want to follow the biblical pattern that as God is saying, hey, I have the gift of the Holy Spirit for your life, I want us just to take a few minutes to respond. We don't have a lot of time, but if you're here this morning and you're just kind of feeling tired and you're feeling like, hey, I just need more of the power of the Holy Spirit. I just feel like I'm just tired. I need something more. I need God's power, supernatural power to help me. Or maybe you're even here this morning and you're like, I've never really been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've never had that prayer language. Maybe I don't quite understand it, but I don't want to just label it weird. I want to say, God, I welcome it. I welcome it. If it's something you have for me, God, I want all you've got for me. As the music plays and the prayer team comes this morning, I just want to welcome you just to come forward. I'd love the opportunity just to pray for you this morning. And whether you decide to come forward for some prayer and meet God up here or meet God where you're at, let's just believe God for more of the Holy Spirit. God, let's lift our hands all across this place. God, we need you more. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge we can't do it on our own. We need your power. We need a fresh fire from heaven, oh God. God, you've given us a big job to reach this world, Lord, and we cannot do it without you. So God, we want to respond to you today. And if there's anybody here that just wants prayer, just make your way down. We just have a few minutes as we close chapel today. But God, we need your power, God. We can't do it without you. There's going to be problems, God, that people bring to us and say, I need prayer, I need help. And we don't have the answers. But Holy Spirit, we need that spidey sense. We need that Holy Spirit whispering to our hearts, giving us discernment, giving us a word of knowledge, giving us that supernatural word from your throne, oh God. God, we need you today. We need you today. Hallelujah, Lord. Come and let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Lord.